Okay, we'll get the show on the road here. Just a few tiny items here. If you can put your cell phones on silent, and please no side conversations while the speaker's talking. At the end of this point in the presentation, if you could line up behind this microphone here for a question, I'd be glad to take them, but please hold your questions to a very short question. We'd like not to have a long dialogue. I'm pleased to introduce Mark Cantor. Mark's from Bristol, PA, he lives in Rhode Island. He batted cleanup on 8 team trivia winners at national conventions. He's been a member since 1985, and he's a big Philly fan, but he still can't remember the 64 season. Mark Cantor.
Good afternoon. I was going to be speaking about when Levittown, PA beat Fort Worth to win the 1960 Little League World Series. In Levittown, and it's been a labor of love. And I played in Little League, but not in the Levittown Little League. And this happened in 2014, the 75th anniversary of the Little League. Now, this is Bill Levitt. He was one of the brothers who helped build Levittown. He said that Levittown was built in sections, so that was Magnolia Hill. And yeah, there were ball fields there, but it turned out that really sections that got together and they had three different little leagues. But it was very important that you had recreational facilities. There were pools in different sections. And the reason why Levittown was even being built is that the Levitts had built Levittown, New York already. They had already been involved in helping to build stuff during the Second World War. There was a housing crunch after the Second World War. I don't know if people are old enough to remember. There was a big issue. The fellows had come back from war, like my stepfather, who came back in 46. He got his PhD from Penn State and went to Purdue and came back to the area to work for this chemical company called Rome and Haas. And he came back in 52. That's when Levittown was first started. And you could buy a house. A veteran could actually put as little as $10 down. You could buy a house for $10K. They were about 1,000 square foot house. And you got all the basic amenities. You had three bedrooms. You had a fireplace. You had radiant heating. You had a washing machine, a dishwasher, and you had a range. And for these people, for 1,000 square foot for the basic house, there were 6 different models, and you could go up. For these people, it was great because they didn't want to live in their parents' houses anymore. They were living in Philly. They were living in Trenton. They were living in New York. And there was a thriving steel mill, the Benjamin Fairless steel mill. So you also had blue collar and white collar workers as well there. So there were about as in the video, there were 70,000 people who were living in Levittown, 17,000 houses, and about each couple had at least between three and four kids. And so I figured out around that time, come 1960, there were already about 50,000 kids, about 25,000 boys, 25,000 girls, and there were three little leagues. This was really, Pete Seeger had actually spoken about, he didn't particularly care for Levittown. But you know, and I love Pete Seeger, I actually would disagree with this. You know, we're looking at this many years later, he was looking at this, you know, a few years afterwards, and this is Malvina Reynolds singing it. We look at it today, we can ask questions, well, why would you take all that acreage? And why would you build these houses? But 60 years ago, people needed a place to live. They wanted their own place. So I think it's tough 60 years later to say, well, you know, everybody could live in cities and all that. There were issues with Levittown. One of the big issues was is that you had to drive to, if you wanted to go to work, you wanted to buy stuff, you had to drive everywhere. But the elementary schools were all in those little sections. So a lot of kids really had the ability to walk, and everything was open, and I remember going, all my friends, they could just walk or ride their bikes to see their buddies. I don't know if you noticed, this is a picture of the winning team. There seems to be as I think Spencer Tracy said in the movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, we seem to have a pigmentation issue here. There's no, as they said back then, there were no Negro boys playing in Levittown. Why? Because there might not have been any Negroes in Levittown. There was diversity in Levittown, all right? Schwartz, Fioravanti, Mormello, and Coxney illustrates diversity of the team. However, one group of boys is missing. Today we would call them African Americans. Back then, as you'll see, they weren't. Billy Hunter, though, if people remember him, he was the ex-NBA Players Association head. He had actually played on the Delaware Township team now. That Delaware Township is now Cherry Hill, if you know the area. In the 1955 Little League World Series championship game, losing to Morrisville. Morrisville is just 5 miles northeast of Levittown, right on, hard on the Delaware, right across from Trenton. So it wasn't as if African-American boys weren't playing in the World Series.
I'm good.
So you see, there were conflicting opinions about whether or not Negroes, African Americans, should be living in Levittown. There was no legal thing stopping people from selling their homes to African Americans. However, there was an implicit knowledge that when you bought the house, you weren't going to do it. As the Levitts said, they weren't, you know, they were Jewish, they weren't going to discriminate, but they even said, well, we don't want you to sell to African Americans because it's going to bring down the value of the house. Just telling you, that's the way it was. And I know even my folks who lived in Bristol, there was a covenant that said you couldn't sell. You know, they bought their house in 1952. You couldn't sell to people of color or to other people as well. So, which is pretty amazing. I'm surprised that they were allowed to move in. Anyway, being a minority as well. But suffice to say, even without that, Levittown won a number of games to get to win the championship. The first thing that they did, though, they beat the Levittown National League team before 1,700 fans, which is amazing. I've been to that area. If people know the area a little bit, it's on Woodburn Avenue and Trenton Road. It's amazing. I don't know how they got 17,000 fans there, because houses had already been built there, so I don't understand it all. But then they had to go to Wilkes-Barre, and they had to play the Plains team of, they had to go to Williamsport. That's where they played the next game. They played the Plains team of Wilkes-Barre. They advanced to the state final, and a fellow named Joe Mormello, who you'll hear from later, fanned 20 batters in a 3-2 8-inning win. Now, I don't know what the rules are today, but it seems to me that's a lot of innings. And you fan 20 batters, just seems to be a lot to me. I don't know. Julian Kaufstein hit a home run as well as others. And you'll be hearing about those guys as well. Then they go to Islip, New York. This is the farthest, besides going to Williamsport, then they have to go to Islip, New York. Joe Mormello no hits Islip, and he hits a home run. And the four boys there, Mormello, Julian Kaufstein, Joe Gravel, and one other, they also hit home runs as well. Finally, Levittown wins 5-0 against Fort Worth. Mormello pitches a no-hitter, hits a home run, and strikes out 16 batters. People remember, and then Betsy Palmer. Betsy Palmer, you don't see it, but she says, when she heard that he was a winning pitcher, she says to him, "Oh, I knew they were going to ask us a question about the Little League World Series, but he's sneaky. he got his hair cut, and so Gary Moore, that's Gary Moore, asked him, did you get your hair cut? Absolutely. These people were so in tune. They knew baseball. This was so important to them. I don't know today, but I got the funny feeling that if we took, and I don't even know, an American team that won the Little League World Series, you put them on a show, would people know who they were? I don't know, but it was so important back then that they knew it. Whatever became of the players, Joe Marmello was a chiropractor in Levittown. He hurt his knee playing baseball for Ryder College. His father actually had played in the Cardinal organization. He had a different last name. Julian Klockstein works in the he's an attorney for the city of New York. Joe Fioravanti was high school valedictorian, attorney, and media PA. They all attended Pensbury High, and I don't know if people know, their ballpark where they played is right next to, from the area, right next to where Pensbury High is now. Interestingly enough, in two articles from the New York Times Philadelphia Inquirer from 1990, on the 30th anniversary of when they won the World Series, everybody said it seemed logical that Joe Fioravanti would become a lawyer. They said he was talking all the time and he knew strategy back then. They all said, yeah, when they all focused on it, they said he was the guy. Levittown American Little League Field, this is where it is today on 1 Amelia Drive. It still exists. We were allowed, my wife and I, about a month and a half ago, we were allowed into their warehouse. They don't have anything outside. They showed some of the stuff that they have. Championship trophy on the left, the ball that the, you know, that Marmello used to win with. They played the Northeast Optimist team. It's Fort Worth, but Northeast Optimist. Anybody here from Tarrant County? I try to get more information. Haltom City, Texas. Haltom City is an interesting town because they were incorporated in 1942. It was an industrial-based town, and they moved up as well. By the 60s, they had really become a relatively big industrial town. But of course, now with everything else, they've fallen back on some hard times as well. Remember before, when Levittown had to travel, they only traveled between Pennsylvania and New York. These guys, for their regional tournament, they had to defeat Cerrado Canova Little League, Canova, West Virginia. I believe why it's Cerrado Canova is I think that's on the border with Kentucky. I think it's a combination Little League. And the Novator is spun by Jimmy Smiley Williams. The Levittown guys say that when they watched this Jimmy Smiley Williams pitch, they had seen him, they said, anybody who smiles when he pitches, we want to hit him hard. It's true. Interestingly enough, I don't know whether or not they had African-American players on it. I would doubt it. But they did have interesting names on the team. They had James Ortiz, Jesus Torres, Justo Cepeda, and Jose Torres. So they did have a mixture a little bit. There's a picture here of Bob Feller. Bob Feller talking to Julia Klockstein after he won the games that he won, and he liked Julian Klockstein's leg kick. And Weed Chevrolet, I just want to show some of the ads. Weed Chevrolet, they lived right up, they literally, that was right up the street from where I live. Reedman Motors, at the time, was the largest. At the largest car dealership on the East Coast. We went to Roosevelt Drive in the bottom left, Tire City. We used to go to Rose Bowl Lanes, did a lot of bowling there. The interesting thing is, see in the upper left, Champs Cantors, that was my dad. And my dad didn't put too many ads in unless it was the beginning of the school year. And they were selling the boys and girls were coming in for clothes. But I think he did it because he was a three-letter man, a rider. And finally, the 25,000 hail the Little League World Champs when at welcome home. It was big. Everybody I talked to remembers the parade. And finally, that's the Little League champs. Thank you. Just want to say that they're the last Pennsylvania team to win the Little League World Series. Do we have any questions? Ty.
I was 12 years old that summer. I was a pitcher in Connecticut on my Little League All-Star team. And I was questioning why he won, how he got 20 strikeouts. The Little League rules in 1960 were 6 innings. And I think my best was 15 strikeouts. I mean, you couldn't have gone extra innings.
No, it said 8 innings. Neil?
Neil Craven, and I grew up actually in Cherry Hill. I think in Delaware Township, so we moved there. But I wasn't around when Billy Hunter was winning. But they actually finished second the next year, too.
Yes, they did.
And so, how do you think it is that all of these particular suburbs ended up being.
Well, I think that if you had read, I had a paper in the National Pastime last year in the supplement. And I think you'll see that one of the things was they were close to Williamsport. I think what happened when when they were close, a lot of teams from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York, you know, they were winning. And then it just 1960, I think the first year they really expanded out international and all that. So I think that was the change. And the question is, Cecilia Tan asked me on the plane yesterday, why is Tom's River so good? Because that's where Todd Frazier's from. I think that's where Al Leiter's from. So I think maybe that's just more of a they have a way of, you know, I can't answer that question.
Mark, I'm almost sure that Levittown, New York, which preceded Pennsylvania, did have deed research into black tires.
And I don't know when that changed. Something changed in 57, but I don't know when the Fair Housing Act changed. That was like in the 60s. Dave?
Well, the covenants were outlawed by the Supreme Court, I think, sometime during the 50s. They were ruled to be in this work.
Yeah.
The Fair Housing Act wasn't
a Yeah. Are there any other questions? Well, thank you.